So hello, I am Hannah Sovereign. I am the Stakeholder Director at Roads Australia, and I'm excited to welcome you to our very first Future Leaders podcast brought to you by our Fellowship and Emerging Leaders sponsors, Arup and John Holland. Should I stay or should I go? This is today's topic. I'm too young myself to reference the 1982 punk anthem by The Clash, but I have been told to look it up. Instead, we are looking at this topic and asking the question, are my chances of career or job advancement better if I stay where I am? Or if I jump ship? Now, many of you listening to this podcast, as well as our guests today, have faced this question. And for those who haven't, I think you'll get some great insights from today's conversation regardless. So let me introduce my co-host. We've got Roads Australia's 2019 PPP award winner, Verity Williams. And Verity is a highways engineer with Arup's Western Australian Transport and Resources team. Welcome, Verity.
Thanks, Hannah. And hello, everyone. So as Australia and the rest of the world are adapting to the changing landscape that is happening due to COVID-19, our young emerging leaders are more than ever thinking about their careers, specifically things like how can I accelerate my career development and also make sure I'm achieving a fulfilling work-life balance. These days, it's quite common to hear us young people talking about wanting a career, having a long-term pathway and not just a job. We want to work for organisations where the policies and the structure of the organisation, as well as the culture, are more aligned with things like addressing global warming, considering sustainability and other humanitarian issues, and doing more than just paying lip service to such topics. As we expect to have quick career progression, we are prepared to, you know, do what we can to make that happen and like work hard to get there as well. So that's not lost in asking for these sort of things. If you think that this kind of thinking represents a seismic shift in attitudes to work, consider this. The Foundation for Young Australians says that today's 15-year-olds are much more likely to experience a portfolio career, potentially having in the order of 17 different jobs over 5 careers in one lifetime. So against this backdrop, we're here today joined with two of our industry leaders who themselves have stood at these career crossroads and pondered the big question, should I stay or should I go? So we will be welcoming Todd Batley and Karen Atkinson. Todd joined AECOM in 1996 after graduating as a civil engineer from James Cook University. Since then, he has moved through a number of roles within AECOM, culminating in his current appointment as CEO, which he began this role in 2017. And Karen joins us from SMEC. She is the Deputy Chief Operating Officer for the Southeast Asian region. Karen has held various roles in multiple countries, including travelling through the UK, New Zealand, Australia, and different parts of Asia. Todd, we'll begin with you today. Will you please tell us a bit more about your journey? I'm assuming that you didn't decide from day dot that you'll stay the distance with one employer when you joined AECOM out of uni. What has shaped your career path?
Well, thanks, Verity, and thank you for the question. I had lofty goals when I started straight out of university with AECOM. The first of those goals was to get a new windsurfer. I used to windsurf a lot in those days, and I managed to achieve that goal in about the first 3 months, which was particularly exciting from a broke uni student to a new windsurfer. That was pretty impressive. And then the second thing I wanted to do was upgrade my terrible uni car with one that had better air conditioning, because it was in Townsville and it was pretty hot, and air conditioning was, I thought, a luxury. And anything after that with AECOM has been a bit of a bonus. But I did stay here, and I used to joke that I would review my career every couple of years and decide whether I'd stay for longer. And when times were hard, it was every 12 months. But I've stayed mainly because I haven't done the same thing. And I haven't done the same thing in the same industry. And over what is nearly 25 years, which sounds horrendously long, more than half my life, I've got as many business cards as years of service. And they haven't all been promotions. They've been new and different things that I said that I would have a go at. Some of those things I really enjoyed and did well. Some of those things I was terrible at and was happy to finish. I've taken on new and different things for a lot of that time. Probably the things that have shaped my career over the last 15 years and maybe even a few years before that was I met a girl who is now my wife, and so my career choices weren't just my choices. They were choices for us about what Melissa and I chose to do, and then we've had children now, so I'm a father of three, and so our choices are now choices about our family. And those things are really important to me. And in fact, as long as no one from ACOM is listening, they're more important than ACOM. So we really look at those things more carefully than we look at various career opportunities, and we look at what the impact will be on our family and make a decision for us. And I think in some ways that's quite similar to young people starting out their careers who want to have a good life work-life balance, like you talked about, Verity, in your introduction. And I think that's a great thing to have, and don't lose sight of it. Probably the most important thing in more recent times that shaped my career and the choices I've made is that I deliberately chose to get into more leadership roles at ACOM. And I had the opportunity to do that, and I had the opportunity to learn from some fantastic leaders. And probably for the last 10 years, and I would say the rest of my career, that's what I'll be doing because I love it. I really enjoy it. I'm not perfect at it. I'm always learning. But ACOM has provided me that opportunity, and for that I'll be forever grateful. So it started with a new windsurfer, and it's kind of ended up a bit more complicated, but yes. It's been a lot of different little steps over many years. And in fact, it's a little bit daunting to look back on 25 years because I still think of myself as quite young and not that different from that graduate that started out those years ago.
So I guess in listening to your answers, what I'm hearing is it's not that you've stayed with a company and done just one role. You've been able to take advantage of lots of different opportunities, different kinds of work, I guess different formats of work, and then you're also addressing your personal career goals as well as how it suits your lifestyle and fits in with your family. What have you seen throughout your career that, okay, I'm looking at these different opportunities and you have been able to find them within AECOM, but at what point have you sort of looked over the fence and seen, oh, there's something happening over there I might be interested in? And have you wondered, is the grass really greener? How do you personally weigh up on those particular questions?
It's a good question. And because there's no one really listening to this, Verity, it's just you and me talking. There was even one opportunity last week that someone approached me about that was really interesting. So it happens from time to time. And I think it's good just to be honest that will happen. And so I look at those things and have always looked at them around the purpose, really. What's what's the organization that's I'm talking to or may have approached me? What's their purpose? What are they all about? What's their culture like? And in particular for me, what's the leadership like? And if it, I can remember one particular example with a competitive firm who I think would have been a great firm if I'd have made the jump, but who the direct manager was going to be, that person was really impressive. And that was really compelling for me. And so I guess they're the things I've always looked at and weighed up. When I was more junior, I used to think, probably understandably, I had little influence on whether things were annoying or not and whether things were good at ACOM or not. And in 25 years, it hasn't all been smooth sailing. And I probably had got to a realization probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago that I actually had a fair bit of influence on that, and ACOM was just me. It was me and everyone around me. We were ACOM. There was no one coming to save us. And so if we wanted it to be different, we could make it different. And so I certainly think that's the case in my current role. I have great opportunity to influence, and I would hope make it a bit easier and a bit better place to work for the people that work with me here at ACOM. So I continue to look at those things around purpose and around leadership and around who you work with, and those things are really important to me, and they always have been.
Okay, so Karen, what about you? It seems that your job has taken you all around the globe, and we'd be really interested to hear as to whether or not your love of travelling drove the career or the career supported your love of travelling.
Thanks, Hannah. Well, I guess it's a bit of both, really. So when I first moved from the UK to New Zealand way back in 97, I was, you know, 4 or 5 years out of uni, still finding my feet with my career. And so at that point, I was certainly more driven by a change of lifestyle in my decision making at the time. But on the flip side, later on when I moved from Dunedin to Brisbane, you know, I was really sad to leave behind the beautiful South Island of New Zealand, but super excited about the career opportunities that were available from access to a much larger market and a bigger leadership role that I was taking on there. So, you know, I've had a bit of both. In the latter part of my time in Brisbane, I was lucky enough to move into a role where I travelled a lot internationally, particularly through to Singapore and India and other places in Asia. And so that gave me insight into a whole other world of cultural challenges and also gave me opportunities to travel without having to move my home base. So, you know, I think, you know, there's opportunity to travel without moving in your career as well. But then if we fast forward to 2015, and it was my husband actually that got a transfer opportunity to go to Hong Kong. And from anybody looking outside, it would have looked like a bad career move for me to take that on and go, you know. And I think this is an increasing reality for a lot of people, is balancing multiple careers in a family and how do you make those choices. But for me, the sense of adventure kicked in. It was too good an opportunity to miss to go and work in one of the world's mega cities on the fringes of China there as it is. And so I backed myself to succeed. I joined SMEC, had a wonderful 4 years in Hong Kong, and then came time where it was my turn to say to my husband, okay, we're moving now, and I now have the privilege of working in Jakarta in one of ASEAN's largest and most dynamic economies. So, you know, I've been really so lucky that my love of travel and adventure has kind of gone hand in hand with these amazing career opportunities, and they've really complemented each other along the way.
And how difficult was it for you to make some of these choices? And so for those, I guess, future leaders who are thinking, do they want to take their career overseas and do that? Is it worth, you know, going over for a few years and coming back? Do you recommend the international stint? And how can you give, I guess, what advice would you give for those tossing that option up?
Oh, look, I would always recommend to anybody to take any opportunity to do some work internationally. It's so rewarding and you learn so much. But I think the first time you move internationally is always the hardest. So once you've done it once, you kind of know what to expect, you know where the hiccups are going to be. And so after that, it's a less daunting prospect, you know, getting visas and moving your household and, you know, all of those logistical challenges that you face. The hardest part about making the decision is always actually just the decision to go is the hardest part. There's always plenty of reasons to stay somewhere. Sometimes that's family, sometimes that's friends or lifestyle or whatever. But I always find that wherever I go, I always meet a new bunch of interesting people, make new friends, find new favourite things to do. So, you know, there's always new things to discover over the horizon. And from a career sense, I guess any change of environment is challenging. Doesn't matter if you're moving company, moving business sector, even changing teams within a company. You know, any team you work in has their own language and norms and ways of communicating and doing things that as a new team member you need to get attuned to and adapt to. So that sort of stuff is the same no matter whether it's an international move or just, you know, the next building across the street. So I think the key thing is that certainly whenever I've moved, I've always been driven by a desire to gain a new experience, whether that's career or lifestyle. I've never moved just for money. I've never moved to get away from something. And I have sometimes taken a backward step in terms of formal hierarchy and position and, you know, traditional measures of career success. But I always have that ultimate goal of moving forwards, moving towards something new, learning something new. And when you go with that mindset, it changes the psychology of a move from being something that's quite scary into more of an adventure and something exciting.
I saw Todd nodding at a fair bit of that, and so I want to know, how often have you been, I guess, offered opportunities overseas, and what's kept you here? Was it Melissa or other reasons?
I get to travel a lot, so I was nodding in particular. I love that. It's one of the best bits of these jobs is often I'm an engineer, so engineers get to build things where there aren't people. So some of the most fascinating projects I ever did were on the Gulf of Carpentaria in Indigenous communities, and then I've had the opportunity to work, you know, in Hong Kong and China, and I'm regularly in New Zealand, and I love the South Island, Karen. That's just a great place to visit, and I'd imagine to live. So I think that's just a huge bonus. Like, what a great job that you can do your job and still see the world. And so we've chosen it that Brisbane's home base for now. We've got kids in high school, and that's important to us as a family to keep stability, but it won't be forever. And I guess there's a little bit of me that's really looking forward to being able to take up maybe an opportunity elsewhere overseas. And certainly if I'm with ACOM and that opportunity arises, that'll be fabulous.
Thank you. I guess listening to both of the responses you've given or to those few questions, what I'm hearing is things like, Todd, you said that if you've been offered elsewhere or looking over the fence, as we said before, one of the big important things here is the culture of the team you would be joining or the business you would be joining. And Karen, you were talking about in your moves that you're trying a new adventure, and quite often by being in a totally different environment that comes with different both career and lifestyle challenges, changes, and things you get to have a crack at. And what you're saying is you might be held back by the fear of the unknown, but you've found that every time you've dived in, you didn't know what you could learn and you had the opportunity to learn. So potentially you've already answered my next question, but what's your perspective on the money versus fulfillment part of making these decisions? Are the two mutually exclusive? And is there, you know, I guess in what I've just said, you might be picking moves for other reasons, but to what point does the remuneration come into it?
Yeah, so I'll just say, I mean, I've always focused on taking roles that are interesting and provide learning opportunities or a challenge. I've never moved to take on a role purely based on how much it will pay. And I've had well-paid roles that I eventually ran out of steam with. So for me, the money definitely doesn't bring fulfillment, but seeking fulfilling roles has, you know, over the years resulted in enough decent salary to pay for all my personal travel adventures and all the things I want to do. So, you know, it's very much for me a question of follow your heart, and the money side will come right.
Yeah, I'm 100% with Karen on that. I think, to be honest, we are very fortunate that the work we do means we won't go hungry. So regardless of the roles we choose, you know, we're going to be okay. And so I think the money, though, just, you know, needs to be fair, you know, particularly as an Australian person. I think that sense of fairness is really matters. So we just need a fair pay. I would advocate for all listeners, Verity, take a role you can be great at. Take something you're going to love doing. Take something that you're going to get up every morning and want to do, whatever the right fair pay is for that role. And I think it'll work itself out over time.
Following on from that then, I guess money can be a big driver in people's decisions as to whether they stay or whether they go. Who do you think has the upper hand in the current employment market, the employer or the employee, and what makes that so?
So I think COVID has put a lot of uncertainty across the industry for employers and employees. And, you know, I think that despite the current challenges, Australia remains resource constrained, certainly within infrastructure. It's probably not the same in Asia Pacific or possibly in the urban development markets at the moment. But I think notwithstanding market challenges, you know, good people, as Todd said earlier, are always looking at those values of potential employers. So at the moment, good people will be looking at how are organisations navigating this current crisis? How does how they're reacting measure up against the values that, you know, I have and the sort of company I want to work for? So I think now is a really good opportunity for employers to demonstrate those strong values that will attract and retain talent and loyalty from staff in the medium and long terms. And during tough times, it's even more important than ever for employers to hang on to their good people, because those are the people that will see you through. So, you know, I think regardless of who has the upper hand in the employment market, I think as an employee, if you've got genuine talent and a good attitude, there will always be plenty of opportunities out there. And, you know, you just need to weigh up what it is that you want to achieve and what's the organisation like that you're thinking of going to.
So, Todd, building on a thought you had previously and what Karen has said, how have you continued to stay interested and engaged over your career with AECOM? You made the comment before that, well, AECOM isn't, you know, a separate entity. AECOM is me, the individual, and the people around me. So what advice can you give to future leaders about what they can drive and what they can look for in the companies they work for?
So I'll take the first part of that about how have I stayed motivated, and I'll try and provide some advice. But I think I've stayed motivated because AECOM isn't the same company that I joined in 1995, and the clients we work with aren't the same. The way we deliver work, thankfully, isn't the same. And there's lots of things that have changed in that time. And to be honest, even over the next few years, you can really get a sense of the change that's possible and welcome within our sector and within our industry. And so I think that keeps it fresh for me, that AECOM's, like any firm, is reinventing itself constantly. And so it's lovely to be part of that, particularly if that feels productive and there's creation of value and opportunity for others. So that's the first thing I would say. But that probably springs from my own just sort of personal values of responsibility. I feel and have always felt a responsibility for that. That AECOM's just me, and it's me and everyone else I can see here that we're working together with. And if we choose to have a positive attitude, if we choose to face the difficulties with a smile and choose to be kind and choose to be considerate of others or whatever else we might choose to do, then AECOM will be those things. And so I've always felt a reasonable burden of personal responsibility, sometimes at my detriment, to improve and fix or be a force for good, I suppose. Now, some of the listeners, of course, will work at AECOM and may disagree with all of that, but that's how I've felt. And so my advice for particularly young leaders, if you think you're a leader, if you think you're cut out for that, is leadership is going to be about influence, and it's hard work, and it can be slow and it can be frustrating, but it's ultimately about influence. And I would encourage the leaders on this who are listening to this, who are trying to have a positive influence in their company, in their department, or whoever they work for, is to look to be the change that you want to see in the company. Look to be that positive force. And you might just be surprised in a few years you're looking around and there's a whole lot of people looking at you as the boss. Because guess what? That positive force and, you know, doing good things is really attractive and it feels good and a lot of people love it and clients like it too. And I think it's pretty old-fashioned, but there is, I think, a real value there.
And I think that attracts really good people as well, when you have that attitude, and makes for a really great culture.
So, Karen, what advice can you give us or give to the young professionals about what you might miss out on by not taking opportunities to work in different businesses and meet different people?
Yeah, so I'd flip the question from what they miss out on and talk about what they gain from moving. And it's a very short and easy answer, really, which is diversity of experience. So, you know, I've found that moving has exposed me to so many different learning opportunities, and some of that is in the scale of projects. So I've gone from being a junior member of a large team on massive highway projects in the UK to New Zealand, where I was a one-man show. I was the project manager, the engineer, the draftsman, the T-boy on small but no less complicated in their own way projects. I've worked in so many sectors, from transport to water to hydropower and dams, and all of those opportunities have come through the moves that I've made and the different teams that I've worked with. But most importantly, I think it's about the people, as you mentioned, that you work with. So I've been exposed to so many mentors, so many different experts and peers. You know, I've learned a lot from peers as well. And so now when I'm in any situation where I feel a bit stuck and I'm not quite sure what to do, I can look back at all these brilliant people that I've worked with over the years and, you know, choose someone who's fitting for the situation and try and channel what would they do in this situation. And so that's really, really helpful for problem solving, is to be able to draw on those experiences. But I think moving also helps to build resilience and confidence. So as you push yourself out of your comfort zone, you know, whether or not you move literally to the other side of the world, when you do that and you achieve it and you feel successful, that's very personally rewarding. So my advice to young professionals is, even if you don't move as much or as far as I have, I definitely recommend getting as much diverse experience as you can. And some companies are great at providing those opportunities in-house, and I've been very lucky with SMEC, but diversity of experience is really the key.
So Todd, I guess Karen's discussed about getting diversity of experience. Will you touch on how you can achieve that without needing to necessarily move to the other side of the world?
So I'm going to absolutely agree with everything Karen said, and my own career at ACOM has been exactly that. I've just happened to do it all in one place. But the great tension that I often feel with our industry, and this is my advice to young people, to weigh up. So I'm not giving advice here. I'm just suggesting you weigh it up. I want to illustrate by one project that opened last Sunday in Brisbane, which is the new parallel runway project. I started work on that project in 2004, in December 2004, and it opened in 2020. And it's a fantastic runway, but it took that long, and I worked on it for almost 10 years. Some of the team on the airport side, the client side, worked on that from the very start all the way through to watching it open. And there's something really special about seeing something so significant come all the way through planning approvals and then being delivered. And so the great tension I think we feel in our industry, and we must acknowledge, is that a lot of the really, really cool projects we get to work on are enormous and take years and years and years. So in the diversity of experience that Karen talked about and I agree with, I think we need to recognise that it's great to see things through. And that's an experience I often encourage our graduates to have. Now, whether that's, I'm not suggesting every job needs to go for 16 years like the new Pala runway, but big projects take a long time and it's hard to shape a city. And often what we do is shaping cities and that takes time. So it's sometimes wonderful to be able to hang in there and see those things all the way through, because you do get to see the project all the way through to fruition. And there is nothing better than maybe catching an Uber through a tunnel that you had a part in, or landing a plane on a runway.
So our next question, so Todd, this might be a challenging one for you, is do you lose sleep wondering what is next in your career journey? And now you've got the top job, does this make it easier to leave because you feel like you've succeeded, sort of all there is, you know, you've achieved all there is to achieve at ACOM, or does it make it even harder?
Oh, that's a really tough one. So in ACOM's world, I'm just middle management, right? So 4,000 people down the bottom end of the earth. I haven't achieved much in ACOM's world, but it has been a great ride. So I think I probably come back to that sort of purpose, who I'm working with, what opportunities could there be to learn and grow. And so if there's opportunities for me at ACOM, I really hope there is, that there might be another step for me or two, and that'd be wonderful, and I'd grab that with both hands. But if there's not, I'm sure there'll be something else to do. And I would look back on the time I've had as a completely fabulous experience of growth and learning with wonderful people, some of whom I've grown up with and have seen me from when I was, you know, young till a bit older, and that nothing would be able to replace that. That's been a wonderful, wonderful time. So I think it would be very hard to leave, no doubt. But my time will come eventually, and I'll be able to look back and feel like it was a fabulous time, and I won't have any regrets.
Fantastic. Karen, seeing as Todd's just been asked a more difficult question, hopefully this one challenges you. Over the course of your 25-plus year career, is there a particular role or place that you feel regrets for leaving and you wish you had spent longer there? Or was there an instance where you took a chance and you learned that the grass wasn't really greener?
So fortunately, I can honestly say I've never regretted a move, and touch wood that it stays that way. Of course, I always miss people and places and things about everywhere that I go. But I think the main reason I've never regretted a move is that I've always been looking forward and always moving on to a new adventure. I think life's too short to spend your time looking backwards.
I really appreciate that sort of attitude that even when things are challenging, you've got something to learn from it and you move forward. That's brilliant.
So thank you so much, Todd and Karen. This has been a really insightful session and a fantastic start for our first Future Leaders podcast. To all of the future leaders listening, it seems that regardless of whether or not you stick it out for 20 years in the same job, it is still possible to grow and develop and find a journey that's right for you. If you're struggling with a choice, always come to what it is that you want for yourself and your family, and don't make decisions based on what you think is expected of you, and don't rush your way to the top. Also think about the change and what change you want and whether or not you can make your change yourself in your organization. Don't always rely on other people or expect the grass to be greener on the other side. Call on your mentors and have tough discussions about why you're leaving. Follow your heart and the money side will come right. Thanks again to Arup and John Holland for supporting our industry's future leaders, and we look forward to our next podcast.
Thank you. Thanks, Hannah, Todd, and Karen.